Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
Stealing, that hurts people. Murder, that really hurts people. Sleeping with another woman, oh, well, that's bad, but looking? Just looking? Doesn't seem like anything that's especially wicked. So what's the big deal? Why is lust so bad? I mean, are we Victorian prudes that just think sex itself is just dirty inherently? Do we refrain from this kind of looking because as Christians we have a low view of sex? No. No, we refrain from it because we have a high view of sex. We regard sex not only as beautiful and delightful and good, but as holy and sacred in God's sight. We have the highest regard for sexual love, and so we refrain from anything that would pervert or mar or disfigure or contaminate that which is so lovely and so beautiful and so holy and so good in God's sight. The world justifies their lust by saying it's no big deal. They're the ones saying it's no big deal. It's no big deal. It's just biology. It's nothing. It's nothing. And what they end up with really is something that really is not very special. But to us, it's a big deal. And here's why. Let's think through why marital love is exclusive. Why does that look belong? And not just the look, but the act. Why does it belong to your spouse alone? Why? Why is that exclusive? I mean, if you think about it, that's unique. Other love relationships are not exclusive. And when I say exclusive, what I mean is just for one person and nobody else. Usually love isn't like that. Other loves aren't like that. I sit down for dinner. I look down at that nice, tender, sizzling steak hot off the grill. And my mouth just starts watering like yours is right now. And I'm looking at that steak, and then I glance over at that hot, buttery dinner roll, fresh out of the oven. Steak doesn't pop up and say, "Hey, get your eyes off that roll." There's nothing whatsoever wrong with me loving the steak and the roll simultaneously. And the craving I have for the roll doesn't diminish in any way my love for that steak. In fact, they actually go together quite well. And it's, you say, well, that's steak. What about people? Well, it's the same way with people. Same way with loving people. Never once have I had one of my kids come up to me and say, "Dad, you can love me, you can love my sister, but not both. Make a choice." It doesn't happen. None of my kids are offended at my love for their siblings. Nor does my love for their siblings diminish any of my love for them. The man with 10 kids does not love his children less, each of his children less, than the man with 2 kids. Because that kind of love isn't exclusive. It, in fact, just the opposite. It grows and deepens and expands as it's multiplied among others, so that the father of 10 kids may very well love each of his 10 kids more than he did back when he only had 2. That's the way all loves are. Almost all loves. All other loves. Nobody questions my love for rafting just because I also enjoy jeeping. Right? All the loves in this world can be spread around without any problem. Except one. I mean, think about it. Suppose you went to your work. Your husband's work. To surprise him one day with a visit. He didn't know you're coming. You walk in, and as you get in there, you're in the foyer, you look down the hallway, and you just happen to witness a confrontation between your husband and a female co-worker. And she's angry. And she's pointing at another female employee and yelling at your husband, saying, "You can be friends with her, or you can be friends with me, but not both." What would you assume about her feelings about your husband? And what if you found out your husband had those same kind of feelings for her? What if your husband had the attitude of jealousy because she's showing interest in another man at work? And so he's really jealous? What if you saw signs like that in your husband? What would you, immediately you'd say, oh, I've got a case of adultery on my hands. This is an affair. And why would you say that? Why would you think that? You haven't witnessed anything physical. There's no kissing, there's no hugging, there's hand holding, nothing physical. The only thing that you have witnessed, one thing you've witnessed, and what is it? Exclusive love feelings. And based on that alone, you can decide that it's adulterous. Because exclusive love is a property of marital intimacy alone. It's unique. No other loves aren't like that, just marital love. Every other context, it's not exclusive. Here it is. So why is it exclusive? Now stay with me here. We're taking a step-by-step reasoning process. Why is marital love exclusive? Why is it so bad for your husband to also be in love with another woman in addition to you? Or for that matter, why would it be wrong for him to be married to another woman? Have two wives, one at home, one at work. Now be careful here, because whatever answers you might give, I think I could shoot them down. You might say, well, it would be bad because it would take away from his time with me. Well, my love for my kids, each one of them takes time away from the time I spend with one as the time spent with the other takes away from that. That's not bad. You say, well, his attention would be divided between me and between her. My attention is divided between my kids. My time is divided, my thoughts are divided, my resources are divided. Yet no one who knows Scripture would say it's unloving for me to have multiple kids. With other relationships, it's possible to love more than one person at a time without it being betrayal, but not marriage. Why? Why? The reason marital love has to be exclusive is because marriage exists for the purpose of putting on display the love relationship between God and His people. That's why it has to be exclusive. That is a relationship that is exclusive. It has to be exclusive. It has to be faithful. It has to be loyal in order to illustrate that. Because the number one most important thing for a human being is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You love Him and love Him exclusively. That's why the first two of the Ten Commandments are about idolatry. The very first commandment. No other gods before me. Exclusive. Commandment number two. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Jealousy started with God, and He put it in marriage. He designed for it to exist in marriage so that marriage would reflect the relationship between God and His people. We are to love God with an exclusive love. It's not acceptable for us to love the true God and some false God. Or to love God and the world at the same time. God will not accept you on that basis. I mean, some people have preached that you can come to God on that basis and later on, shave off the idolatry out of your life. No, you cannot come to Christ that way. God will not accept you on those terms. You can't love the world and love God. You got to be totally devoted to Him. And not only does God require that, but it's loving for Him to do so. It would be cruel for God to allow us to also love another God or love the world. I mean, giving any part of your love, any part of your allegiance or loyalty to a false God is something that not only dishonors the one true God, but does great harm to you. And God knows that, and so He commands that you not do it. I mean, if there's one fresh spring of drinking water and a whole bunch of poison springs, it would be cruel for God to say, well, drink from whatever ones you like as long as you drink a little bit from the good one. No, don't drink from the poison ones at all. God absolutely will not accept anyone on any terms other than 100% exclusiveness. If a person is half-hearted Christian, half in the world, half in the church, he's 100% lost. You can't love both God and this world at the same time. And God wanted us to understand that exclusivity of love. He wanted us to understand the exclusive love, so He invented a relationship different from all other human relationships, very different, where the kind of feelings you have, you feel betrayed and you feel cheapened when the love's not exclusive. You don't feel that way when your parents love your siblings. But you're devastated to find out that your spouse has exclusive love for someone else. One of the reasons God gave us marriage is so that we could understand adultery. He needed us to understand, we needed to understand adultery because throughout Scripture, idolatry and love for the world is called spiritual adultery. James 4:3, when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, and you spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulteresses, don't you know that your friendship of the world is hatred towards God? So God will not accept you if you come to Him without turning your back on the world any more than your wife would have said yes if you proposed by saying, look, I'm still in love with my old girlfriend, but I'd like you to be my wife on Tuesdays and Thursdays. The answer is going to be no. When Scripture tells us that marriage exists to display the relationship between God and His people, does that include the sexual part of marriage? Is the sexual part of marriage also supposed to display the relationship between God and His people? Absolutely. Yes, that's part of the illustration. Sexual imagery occurs frequently in Scripture describing the relationship between God and His people. For example, in Genesis 2 says that a husband and his wife became one flesh. We know that's talking about a sexual union because 1 Corinthians 6:16 says, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. So the two becoming one flesh refers, at least in part, to the act of sex. And that same one flesh, two becoming one flesh imagery is used of Christ and the church. Ephesians 5:31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. So yeah, it's included. Now that's not to say that we have sexual feelings towards God or He has sexual feelings towards us. I'm not saying that, but it is to say that the joys and the pleasures and the profound oneness and union that are present in the sexual union between husband and wife are designed to illustrate the joys and pleasures and profound oneness of union between God and His people. And that's why sex is so holy and so sacred. When out of your mouth comes some sexual term as a swear word, it's not obscenity. It's profanity. It's profane. It's taking the holy and making it common. So why is it considered such an evil thing when you commit adultery against your spouse? What's so evil about it? What's so wicked about it? It's evil because of how it perverts and distorts the picture of exclusive love that God designed in marriage to show the relationship between God and His people. That's why marriage exists. And that's destroyed. That picture is destroyed when we're not faithful to our spouse. We are being unfaithful any time we give to someone else that which belongs to our spouse alone. And looking in such a way as to awaken desire is something we owe our spouse alone. We owe our spouse total faithfulness, including eye faithfulness and mind faithfulness. So, what's so evil about looking in a way that sparks desire? It's unfaithfulness to your spouse. It is sex outside of marriage. It is the expression of a coveting heart that's resisting God's will. And it makes a train wreck out of the purpose of marriage, which is to show the love between Christ and His church. Usually when I give you a question at the end of a podcast, it's for examining your own heart, your own spiritual life. But today is different. Today I just urge you to take a moment to consider how strikingly different God made marital love from every other kind of love. It's not humanly explainable. It's not naturally explainable. All other loves are inclusive. Marital love is exclusive. It's completely different. Take a moment to just consider that. Think it through and think of God's obvious thumbprint on that aspect of our human nature and marvel at His design.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.